Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to Access All Areas. I am Stephen Lane.
And I'm Bobby Norris. Babes, it's good to be back. How are you?
It is good to be back, but we've both been on holiday. What are the chances? How was Turkey, Bob? It looked amazing.
You know, so lovely. Really nice to have a little holiday, you know. It was literally a last minute thing, booked it like 48 hours before and was just so blessed with the weather over there. And I mean, considering everything that's happening at airports now, I mean, also we had to be there earlier than normal and all that kind of stuff, but we was fortunate enough that we could still fly. There was no major delays. Obviously seeing a lot in the news and the press at the moment where some people actually having their flights and holidays cancelled, bless them, which isn't ideal when people have waited pretty much 2 years to go away. So I do feel for them. But no, it was honestly just so nice. Only 5 days, but still nice. How was yours? Lapping up Italy, weren't you?
I was, certainly was. It was really lovely. I haven't ever, do you know, in probably like 10 years, I haven't done like a sit around kind of lazy holiday with not many plans. We had a lovely villa. They're called Duomo on this island.
He's come back now in all the lingo.
I mean, there's nothing I don't know about Italy now, babe.
Bilingual, Stephen. Love it. Who told you that? Some lovely Italian man.
There were a few nice Italian men, to be fair. No, but it's a tiny, tiny island. So it's like, and it's really close to Africa. So it was just amazing. The whole thing was just a real lovely experience. Like the biggest stress of the day was who's going to make lunch. And we just had like pasta twice a day. And I one day I made homemade pizzas and it was just, you know, just nice to just sort of bumble around and soak up the sun. And I kept my phone off, not off, but like on airplane mode most of the week, just checked in occasionally, like, just sort of, it was just felt really nice to disconnect and just kind of be present in the moment and sort of enjoy yourself rather than just constantly being like, oh, going here, on my phone, doing this, doing that. It was just really nice. And actually, same as you, I think, I was very grateful that we didn't have any of the big disasters that seem to be happening to people with the flights, because it seems like a bit of a nightmare, doesn't it?
Just, I mean, you'd be so gutted, wouldn't you? And I mean, half term as well, when you're seeing all these families getting turned away or their flights cancelled. It's just so sad. But hopefully it corrects itself soon. But I guess half term's nearly done. And I mean, obviously, we don't have children, but that's kind of your allocated time to go away, isn't it? So
yeah.
I bet there's been a few tears, I'm sure.
Definitely.
I know the day before I flew home from Turkey, there was some kind of issue. I don't know if it was, I think it was a computer system. I'm not even sure if it was just Turkey, but I know a lot of flights were being cancelled and delay a day. But again, fortunately, thankfully, someone must have been looking down, because the following day I was pretty okay.
It's funny because we did get a little bit delayed on our flight from Sicily to this island, which was called Pantelleria. And there's like one restaurant and one like Sky Sports bar, which obviously me and my gay friends were not going to frequent. So we ended up in this little restaurant ordering bottles and bottles of Prosecco, like really overpriced, because in Italy, Prosecco is actually fairly cheap. So by the time I got on my flight to go there, like on the way there, I was pretty drunk, I'm not going to lie. But, you know, you only live once, and I was on my holidays, I had a delayed flight. Why not? The funniest thing, there was someone who was obviously a celebrity in Italy there, because people were like, you know, people like, look, you probably experienced this yourself, Bob. People looking like behind them and like, so, and we obviously didn't know who they were Italian. So people were then kind of taking pictures. He was taking loads of pictures of people, and we asked the waitress, who is he? And she was like, he is a YouTuber. And I was like, oh, wow, this is it now, isn't it? It's like no longer TV stars or musicians. It's like,
it's YouTube.
Now I just need another holiday, really. That's all it is.
That's how it leaves your feeling. But isn't it nice to get back and just feel like your batteries have been recharged? You feel all refreshed.
Very, very.
It's a nice feeling, and makes you realise how much we've missed out on. Like I say, even just that 5 days I went away, come back, like, just what it does for you to just kind of chill. And like yourself, actually, I did a bit of a digital detox. I wasn't on my phone. I think we're all quite guilty when we're back home.
Mm-hmm.
being on it a lot. And like we said, emails, isn't it? Social media. It's very rare I even phone call on my phone.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, never. I couldn't tell you the last time I actually probably used it. But it's everything that goes with it. So it's kind of nice on holiday to kind of just take a bit of a step back and just be present and in the moment and enjoying the glorious weather.
Yeah, I did find myself getting a bit annoyed with my friends when they were on their phone, though, getting a bit high and mighty. I was like, get off your phone, get off your phone. They're like, they're not doing the same thing I'm doing. But I was like, be present. But yeah, no, it does feel nicer, doesn't it, without your phone. And you kind of realise how attached you are to it. What's it called? Like the thing that sums up how often you've been on your phone, like on an iPhone on the Monday morning.
Yeah, like the update.
Yeah, it went down to like by like 65% or something. Like, so, you know, because I was only using my phone really to like put music on the speaker or, I don't know, check the weather. So it was like, I wasn't really, yeah. Anyway, well,
I think our phones were probably shocked when it sent through our screen time for the previous week. I bet they thought, this isn't like
something's happened. Are they dead? Yeah.
What's
are they
going
ill?
On? But I kind of think it's also, sometimes there's like, I think there is a pressure on your phone as well. Like for me, especially, I do sometimes feel like a little bit of anxiety being induced. Like even keeping, especially the way WhatsApp is. I mean, I know this is first world problems and stuff, and there's bigger and worse things clearly going on. But if you read a message and you leave someone on blue ticked, yeah. I hate being blue ticked. So if I do it to someone, it's because they know you've read their message. So it's little things like that where you can kind of, and it sounds so mad, and in the grand scheme of things, it is really stupid. But when you're not on it,
I do know what you mean.
And someone can see you're online or that you've read their message, because sometimes you can read it and you're in work or you're on a Zoom or something, so you're not blanking them.
Yeah.
So to not have it with you all the time is kind of nice.
I completely agree, and I think we should do it more often.
Let's do it. We say sat here on Zoom.
Yeah, 2.5 years after the pandemic started, we're still doing this. Well, we have a very exciting show coming up today. We've had DJ Fat Tony on previously, and it's great to have him back on to talk about his new book. He's coming up first. Then we've got James Tyndale, former Geordie Shaw, and he's doing a little mixed martial arts fight, which he's going to come on to chat about. And from Celeb Karaoke Club, so you have recently recorded Matt Evers. So you're not going to be able to give away too many details about what happened, but I'm sure you can give us a little bit of tea, a bit of goss.
Yeah, exactly, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So obviously we missed last week, though, because we were both on the jollies. Showbiz news this week. Anything caught your eye since you've been back?
Well, it looks like, I mean, it's like proper reality TV central, isn't it? People talking about stuff happening. Love Island's back.
Yes,
with its new cast. It's kind of hard at this early stage when they've only just announced who the first people are, who's going to be the big names that sort of come out of the series, isn't it? But obviously I think Michael Owen's daughter Gemma is probably going to be one to sort of watch out for, because anyone that's got sort of a famous connection, I'm thinking Danny Dyer, you know, like they tend to end up getting slightly more airtime than the others.
Yeah, I think she'll do well. Like you say, I think the ones, because most series there is someone that has that connection to a celebrity, don't they?
Yeah.
And I think that stands them in good stead. We've also got our first ever deaf contestant.
Yeah, which is great. I think
amazing.
There's
Tasha is her name, from North Yorkshire. She's a model and a dancer.
And then there's also apparently a paramedic, a fishmonger, a waitress. It's always sort of come under fire for not being diverse enough, hasn't it? Love Island. And you can see why, because everyone's got like proper gym bodies, or they're like super slim models with, you know, hair extensions and a fake tan or whatever. And like, it is nice to try and change that a little bit. By having like a deaf contestant, or as they've had in the past, bisexual contestants, you know, things like that. I'm intrigued to see how it goes. But it's not the only reality show that's been talked about. Apparently Big Brother might be coming back.
Yes, I've seen in the press, it's rumoured that it might be coming to ITV, well, ITV2. Because obviously it started originally, didn't it, Channel 4?
Yeah.
Then moved to 5. And I was trying to figure out earlier what year it finally finished. Was it 18 or 19? It's been a few years.
I think now. 18. I feel like it was 18.
I still count on my fingers, by the way. The maths is that good. So 4 years. But for me, I was always a massive Big Brother fan. I mean, especially the early days. Like Channel 4 loved it. I mean, Channel 5 loved it. But for me, the celebrity one, January for me was all, it's that grim month, isn't it?
Yeah.
Everyone's skint. Everyone's like sat indoors because
doing dry Jan.
Doing dry Jan. And who don't want to see a house full of celebs living together in January? So it used to get you through the down of Christmas ending and the January blues, having that. I mean, I don't know if it's actually been confirmed yet, and I don't know if it will be celebrity or if it's not the celebrity version, but interesting that ITV are interested in it, allegedly. New home. I know when it moved to 5, it kind of changed a little bit, which I kind of think it has to do when it goes to a new home. What's your thoughts? Would you be glad to see it back?
I think it's interesting, right? Because I can see why ITV2 would be a really good home for it, because they do a lot of these sort of dating reality shows and all that sort of thing, and they obviously work really well. They're talking about bringing back the civilian version, not the celebrity version. I wonder if, unless they go back to how it was in the very beginning, less about like constantly trying to trick people and all that sort of like, I don't know, the rules are changed and blah, 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 and really take it back to how it was initially, like almost a social experiment rather than like a headline grabber. I don't know. I can imagine a situation which I watch the first couple of episodes and see how I feel about it. Because it does feel a little bit old fashioned.
I think it's a tricky one now, because there is that fine line. I think as time went on, like all TV and especially the genre, I mean, because that was the first reality show of its kind, wasn't it, Big Brother? Mm-hmm. So I think if you think back, I remember even Series 1, some of the things, their tasks was feeding chickens and painting their bodies and putting their bodies against the wall. It wouldn't make for TV now. I think all reality shows, as time go on, and you see it in a lot of the reality shows now, as years do roll on, people expect more, and then the drama increases. And then, because it never used to be, I mean, bar Nick when he was, which seems 100 years ago, running around with the gnomes, people wasn't tearing strips off each other. And it wasn't all about the fighting and the drama. Whereas I think a lot of TV now, because the ante has been up to that level now, people almost expect that and want that.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And I wonder if ITV and sort of Endemol maybe have a plan for that, and maybe present it in a slightly different way than they did before. But I mean, I do like the celeb version. So, I mean, but the problem is the celeb version ended up overshadowing the normal version, so I can see why they might. It'd probably be cheaper as well, I imagine, to not have to pay a bunch of celebs to go in. So I don't know. It's funny because I remember when Big Brother first came out, I was like, every year I was like, I'm going to audition. This is going to be that. I never did. But like, it's so funny to think about now, like how different it's all become now. Yeah,
and I'm too old. Because I think that the first house, I think, was over in Bow somewhere.
And then,
And then from I think, like, Series 3, it was over at Elstree. But when I was over there recently, I filmed a couple of things over the last month or two. They've tore down. Well, I think they tore it down a while ago. But where the house used to stand, I think they've built a big Netflix stage, which is they film a lot of The Crown there. So I don't even know. They'd probably have to put the house somewhere else. But I guess it's a watch this space.
Yeah, I can't wait to see if it'll
be interesting. And I wonder if Emma Willis would come back and do it.
Yeah, or maybe I think they both, her and Alison Hammond, said maybe someone completely fresh, which I can see working too. Exciting times.
Exciting.
Right, well, our first guest, DJ Fat Tony, we're just going to call him Tony. is here, so let's get him in.
Hiya.
Yeah.
Oh, Bobby, can you get any bigger if you try?
I'm trying, Tone. I'm trying. How you been? All right, mate.
I'm amazing. You know, we just found out, we were on our way to see a film production company about the book, and we were waiting all day to find out where we'd gone in on the charts. And we went straight in at number 5 on the Sunday Times bestsellers.
Oh, that's amazing.
Congrats, mate. It's
maddening. And we're number one on Audible, number one on Amazon, we're number one. It's mental.
Everyone's going mad for it, aren't they?
It's really mad. I keep crying.
Oh.
Yeah, it's crazy, man.
So it's called I Don't Take Requests. What inspired you to sort of finally write everything down, I guess?
Because, you know, I've been through a lot of trauma in my life. And, you know, sometimes the best way to deal with that trauma is by fronting it front on. And I'm a firm believer that when you speak about a problem, it takes the power out of it. And there's so much in the book that I've really never really discussed because it was personal, and also the shame that was attached to it, you know, i.e. the sexual abuse that happened to me for like 4 years when I was 10 onwards, and, you know, and then HIV. And I put it all in the book because I watched It's a Sin, and I just thought, you know what, it's amazing what they've done, and it's amazing that they brought it to the forefront. But I really wanted to go in as someone that lived through it and lost all of their friends and lost their boyfriend, and talk about how we were made to be ostracized. We were like plague, like carriers, and the gay areas that got decimated, i.e. like up to that point was Earls Court. You know, there were like 7 gay bars on one street there, you know, in that whole area, and all gay hotels. When AIDS hit, they were all gone. We were banished. You know, they didn't go because everyone died. The majority of people did because it was a Levitine, but they went because the media portrayed us in such bad light that you couldn't shake our hands, and all gay people had AIDS. And it was terrible. And, you know, I lost my boyfriend in 1995. And I myself was diagnosed in 2001. Now, I know for a fact that I probably had it for 10 years before being diagnosed, from about 81, 82. I mean, 89, you know, around that time, 89. And, you know, it was, I mean, I'd had same day testing done, and it never showed up. And, you know,
oh, really?
I was talking to my doctor about it, and he was like, oh, you know, those centers that opened really didn't know what they were. Really didn't know what they were testing for, you know, and kind of just that's where it went.
But
it quite cathartic, Tone, sitting down, putting pen to paper and almost reading it back and reliving it. Has that helped?
Immensely, you know, because when I started writing the book, we would get to the abuse chapter. And basically, when we were on the abuse chapter, what happened was I got really ill the first day, and I went off and thought I had food poisoning. And I was vomiting all day and all night. And basically what it was the fact that the first time I'd gone back there and I could smell him, I could see him.
Wow.
And it had a really bad effect on me. And I had to leave that chapter for a good month because it was so painful. And then I started intense trauma therapy, where I sat and drew pictures, because what it does is it opens up another part of the brain that speaking doesn't open. And so we bury stuff. But when we draw, it brings up this other side to the trauma. And it was really revealing. And, you know, to sit and draw Prince of Wales check, because that's what he wore. And I had a real phobia about that. And she was like, okay, draw his hair. And I was like, oh no, I don't want to do that. And over the course of time, I got really acceptable about it. And I was like, okay, I can do that. But then when we wrote the chapter, and then when it came to doing the audio, I couldn't do it. I couldn't read it on the audio.
Really?
I did, you know, I chose to do my own audio because I think the story needs to be done in my own voice. Mm-hmm. And then that chapter was like, you've got to get someone else to fucking do it. I can't do this. Seriously, I cannot do this. And we kind of went back to it 3 days later. And I was like, you know what? I can do this and I will do this. It's a really important chapter that's going to help change people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
And since it came out, you know, people you know, we'd love to skate around the subject, you know, like people go, oh yeah, it happened to me. And then when you ask them what happened, they'll go off on and talk about something else, the price of tea, because they've not really dealt with it. But they'll open up to a certain extent. And that's what I wanted to go beyond with the book for. And I thought it was okay for me to come out and say all of that stuff because it's my truth. And I think it will really help people.
Was there some lighter moments in addition to all this?
Oh, there's so much. Listen, you know, it's really funny because people go, oh my God, I'm loving your book. It's so funny. And I'm like, what chapter are you on? And they're like, chapter 4. And I'm like, oh, okay.
It's all to come.
And then they all just go wait. And then, you know, because what we did was we didn't make it all heavy and like, I want to hang myself. What we did was we put light at the end of every chapter. Mm-hmm. We made, you know, we put jokes in there. We made it who I am. I find laughter in that stuff now because it takes the power out of the shame. And I've got no shame around any of it. I've been doing lots of interviews in the last few days regarding HIV. I've been doing lots of interviews the other day around this week about abuse. And I think they're really important chapters. But the rest of the book, you know, about addiction, you know, it's very documented about my addiction, but I really go in depth of it. And I talk about growing up in New York and flying, you know, all of that stuff that went with my lifestyle. People really thought that the book was going to be that Tony revealing all about Kate Moss and all of his so-called celebrity friends.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know what? It's not that at all. It really isn't. And that's the beauty of this book, because I've changed everyone's names in the book. Their names aren't in it. You know, we talk about Kate briefly at the beginning because she's a big part of my life, and I've known her since she was a kid. And George is the same. George is an integral part of my story. So they're kind of like, when it came, you know, to celebrities, everyone else's names got changed. There's an A-list story about a Hollywood actor. Now, if I put that story in there, I mean, the Sun had covered, like, thought they had the scoop on it about 2 years ago and did a whole big page about so-and-so and his daughter and me. But, you know, I did it on purpose. I just took their names out because it's not important who it was. The story's the important bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I could have had a number one all around the world with that story. And you know what? I don't need it. I don't want that. That's not what the book is about.
Absolutely.
Anyway, a number 5 on the
That's amazing.
Are you surprised at the reaction to it?
I really lost so many sleepless nights because when you're that vulnerable and you put that stuff out there, you know, I had a court case. I went to prison where I was accused of a heinous crime. And to put that stuff into a book, you know, they were like, do you want to put that in? I was like, yes, I do. Everything has to go in there. Because every dark story, there's light at the end of the tunnel.
You're still here, right? And you're able to tell it. That's the most important thing.
The response has been incredible. I get so many messages of beautiful people on Instagram. One person said, who are you? And I said, buy the book and you'll find out. that was kind of it. You know what I mean? And it's like, so that one person... Number 5, bitch. Number 1 on Audible. Number 2 in biographies on Amazon.
Insane.
Has it given you the bug for writing, Tone?
Not right now. Everyone's talking to me about it already, and I'm like, no. The next step is actually like turning it into a film or a, you know, we had a big meeting today. We were a really massive film company today that were talking about turning it into a 2-hour drama series for the BBC. Anyway, blah, blah, blah.
Wow.
That'd be brilliant, Tone.
But there's loads of talk about other people. There's lots of requests coming in. And you know what? When they release that on Sunday where we are, there's going to be an awful lot of requests because we struggled getting on TV. We struggled
with really?
The contents of the book. You know, Kate Burley had me on Sky News on Monday and was incredible, absolutely incredible. You know, she went in for the kill with the questions, and it was like, you know, it's people kind of get it wrong. Do you know what I mean? They're kind of like, oh, he might talk about drugs. I do talk about drugs in a very, very positive way because I'm not sitting on there saying, oh, I had the best time snorting this and snorting that. I didn't. It started off fun. It got lots of fun. Then it became just, you know, a living hell.
Yeah.
And, you know, why would I don't, you know, I don't relish in the fact that I don't roll around in fox shit to say, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Because it's not about that. The story is a story of redemption. Yeah. Everything I've done, I started the book by saying I don't have any regrets. And on the very last pages, I took it all back. I was like, of course I have regrets. So many regrets. And I spend a lifetime changing that.
Yeah, the thing is, though, like you say, your life and your story—that's your truth. So it's not about glamorizing drugs or whatever. No, you would almost, by not putting that in, wouldn't be being true to you or the story, would it?
It has to be in there. And also, you know, it's 28 years of my life, and you know, it's like there's some funny stories attached to it. Of course, there is. It wasn't all darkness. Yeah. And you know what? When I got clean 15 and a half years ago, I built my career back up. People are like, oh my God, just recently your career's gone through the roof. When did that happen? I'm like 15 and a half years ago. The minute I put down a drink and a drug, that's when life changed. Mm. And it's been a hard slog. I'm a grafter. I've never, ever, you know, all my life taken things, you know, been given stuff on a silver platter. I don't. I'm very good at my art. I'm very good at what I do. And yeah, I've got a big mouth and I sometimes I can really sell myself. But you know what? You can only sell yourself so much without having the goods, you know. And people go on about, oh, yeah, you did this, you flew there to do that, and you flew here to do that. Yeah, I do. That's the level I'm at in my career. It's not arsenicky. It's not trying to be flash. That's what I do. You know, Friday I start a new residency at High in Ibiza on Friday night.
Amazing.
I'm 56. What the fuck?
56 ain't old tone.
Oh, I know, but you get what I'm saying, Charles?
Yeah, like, yeah.
You know, and I have to pinch myself. I really do have to pinch myself sometimes.
But I bet you feel better now than you did at 36.
100%. You know that. I've never felt better. I'm in a new relationship, which I've been in for a year, and it's the most transparent relationship I've ever had. I'm totally smitten. I'm totally head over heels in love. And I'm not only in love with him, but I'm in love with myself. So that makes it okay to love him. Whereas before, I would love people. I would make them, put them on a pedestal, and then that pedestal would be too high for me. And then I would start destroying everything because I didn't feel worthy.
Yeah,
I didn't feel good enough, and I didn't feel enough. And today I feel all of those things. You know,
so where did you meet him, Tony? Can you give him some tips?
Yeah,
here?
Can we have some tips, please?
Tell him where we met. So basically, a very long time ago, actually, I met him 11 years ago, first of all. And I was at the time living with my friend Gina, let's just call him that, in his house in Hampton, at Boy George's house. And I wasn't allowed, the rule was I wasn't allowed boys at the house when George was there. He was always away, you know, it was like supermarket sweep sometimes, do you know what I mean? But he, I've been chatting to Stavvy for a while on Manhunt. That's how old he is.
Manhunt, oh my God, I've been there for a while.
So we were chatting and he came to meet me at Hampstead Tube Station all the way from uni. Miles and miles away. And he turned up and I was like, I've got some bad news. George had come back unexpectedly that day. And I was like, you can't go to my house because George is back. And he was like, oh, and I was like, I've come such a long way. And I was like, I know a really good bush on the heath. off we went to the bush. We shagged. And funnily enough, I messaged him the next day and asked him if he wanted to go on a date with me. And he was like, no. So I remember saying to him, why don't you fuck off? Like, literally. And then we didn't see each other. And then what happened was I was going through a divorce a year ago, just over about 14 months ago, 15 months ago. With David, I've been with for 8 years. And I destroyed the relationship a long time before. And like I always did, you know, and he was just a pawn in that destruction. And basically, he went out, and then I bumped into Stavvy through a friend and literally started chatting to him again. And
you remembered him from that bush?
No, he didn't tell me at first. And then he said, we've met before, and he told me. I was like, fucking hell. And then, you know, it was literally, I remembered, it came back to me. Because he's so handsome, man. Yeah, it came back. And then so we started shagging, basically. But to come over, use me and go. keep the cab waiting almost, do you know what I mean?
Keep the meter running.
Yeah. And it kind of, because I was going through what I was going through, I didn't want to include him in it. And I didn't want to put him on social media because it would have just caused hassle. And it did anyway, because, you know, people find out and they gossip. And so anyway, we went away to Ibiza and it was that make or break weekend. I was like, do you want to come to Ibiza for me? I've got a trip. And he was like, yeah, I'd love to. And we hadn't actually slept together. We just shagged loads of times, but we hadn't actually spent a night together. And that was going to be the make it or break it weekend. And it was absolutely perfect.
That is such a good story.
But he still wasn't allowed on social media because I was to protect him.
Yeah, yeah.
It can change things, can't it? The minute things go on social media, it really does.
100%. We weren't ready to go out there with it because we don't need all these rancid queens or whoever else putting their 2 pence worth in.
We're the rancid queens in this.
But the thing is, we both had pasts.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
We know our pasts, and we, you know what? There's no shame attached to it. And to when we finally got together, it was. It's been amazing. It really has. I just, yeah, it's the best thing that's ever happened to me. And I hate cliches, but it really is. It really
is. I'm so pleased for that. And I'm so pleased for the success of the book.
Thank you. You know, when I came on here last time, I was in a different place mentally and mental health wise, really. I think it was at the end of the lockdown. And do you remember I came? And now I'm just. I lost my dog like 6 weeks ago. She passed away.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, she's on the cover of the book. She, I was in Tracy Emin's kitchen on a Sunday. I was going to Miami with Staz, and I was at Tracy Emin's for lunch. And she was in the kitchen. She went, you know, Tony, how we go away, our elderly dogs take it upon themselves sometimes to die. And I was like, what the fucking most random fucking thing ever? Why would you say that?
Before you get on a flight.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it actually happened.
Oh, no,
what she did was she waited till we were on a flight coming back. We had the most magical trip. I went to do the Beckham's wedding. That was that much of the magic. The rest of it was this much of the magic. We had the best time together. And she waited for us to get on the plane and she passed away in her sleep. And I truly believe she waited for a moment to let us go. And she got me to, as I say, I got a year before I finished using, the worst year of my life. And she's been through every step of the way. And the book's dedicated to her. I dedicated to her before she passed away. My mum comes second. Like, it's like this book's dedicated to unconditional love and to Taylor, who's never judged, and to my mum and all the mothers of the world.
I believe dogs know, you know, and I think she probably felt
100%.
It's good work now. It's good. Yeah, I've done my bit.
She's got me to where she needed to get me to.
Yeah, 100%. I believe that.
Thank you so much for joining us this evening. Really appreciate
it. Thank you for having me on.
And you're welcome back anytime. And best of luck with the book. And so glad it's gone well.
Thanks. Good to see you, babe. Take care.
See you
Thanks,
soon.
Guys.
Bye.
Bye.
What incredible stories he has.
Great chat. I mean,
just amazing.
Absolutely.
I could talk to him all night, honestly. But our next guest, James Tindall, is here, so let's get him for a little chat.
Let's go.
Hello.
All right, mate.
How are you doing? You all right?
Good. Hello, fucking James. How are you?
Been really good. Yeah. Yeah. All systems go. There's a lot going on.
Oh, God. Oh, tell us all about it. Slim MMA.
Yeah, Slim MMA. So originally, when it first started, 8 weeks ago, something like that. They contacted us to do it then, but I couldn't do it because I already had filming commitments. So I've actually been away filming a different show. I've come back. They've offered us it again, obviously 3.5 weeks notice, and I'm ready. Do you know what? I don't think there's a lot of people would take a fight in 3 weeks notice. I've been offered these in the past, various different shows, like boxing ones, MMA ones, and I've always been like, it hasn't worked with my schedule, and I've always thought I need a good, solid camp. I want to be in there for a couple of months, make sure everything's good. And then I kind of just forgot about that plan coming into this one. I was like, right, the opportunity's there. It's lucky. Like, we're sound, do you know what I mean? Like we know each other from being out and about, we've been on a few nights out together. But obviously this is a completely different kettle of fish, isn't it? We're not in a pub getting drunk together. We're in a ring. We're in a ring trying to batter each other. So
explain a bit about what MMA is for anyone that doesn't know.
Yeah, MMA is just mixed martial arts. So it's like punching, kicking, knees, wrestling, jiu-jitsu. So like different locks on the floor and stuff. It's entertaining. So majority of people taking it on a three week kind of notice would be absolutely mad. But do you know what? I feel really confident. I've done bits of kickboxing from when I was a kid, but obviously since coming into TV and I've been too busy to kind of keep all that side up. I never had any fights or anything.
Are you quite scrappy, though? Like, the fact that you've done it as a kid, you can look after yourself. So even though you've got 3 weeks, obviously, you've either got the world's biggest balls or you're very confident that you've got to get in there and do well.
It's a bit of both, really. They are kind of big, like. To be honest, when I actually started Geordie Shaw, I remember getting sat down and I got a telling off, really, because when I started Geordie Shaw before that, me and my friends were a bit... like, we're out a lot, and obviously young lads, you get into bother. Nine times out of ten, it was over girls. So I wasn't shy of a scrap, put it that way. And then when we first started doing Geordie Shaw, I thought it was just normal. And we were filming one of the first nights, and someone said something to us, and I ended up going for them in the nightclub. and I ended up getting in trouble from it. And then since then, I've just been, like, best behaviour and, like, just dead calm. But... I've still got it in us, and I think if it's going to be in a ring, it's a good time for it. Really, I'll let it out for one night.
And it's over at Wembley, and you ain't got long. 24th of June.
24th of June at Wembley. Hey, that was another reason why I wanted to do it, because I thought, how many people can say they've had a fight at Wembley? And I was like,
good point. Well, maybe outside the stage. Yeah.
The train station.
Exactly. I was like, if I'm going to do it, this is the one. I know I haven't got much time, but I'm going to make sure in this next few weeks I'm doing everything that I can to get ready for it. So I've literally just finished training before. I'm doing like 5 hours a day at the minute.
Jeez, that's a lot.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
That's like Strictly Come Dancing levels of
Yeah, honestly, I'm turning up to the gym and the rest of my team aren't turning up for an hour or so later. And they're like, why are you here already? I'm like, I need the extra work. I'll say they've all had more time than me. I need to catch up, but
you're in good nick, James, already. Yeah. Let's have it right. You ain't in bad nick.
Yeah, I'm fit. It's just obviously putting everything together. And most of all, I think it's getting in the mindset. So it's kind of just getting a plan together, focusing on that for the next few weeks and on the night, getting the job done. I'm feeling confident, I must say.
Are you not worried about Lockie then?
Do you know what? I like Lockie, and I think it's going to be a good fight because I think we're both big lads. So... obviously, like all it can take is one punch, and like we're both big, we'll both have power. It's just down to who wants it more on the night.
Ooh.
I haven't seen him training. I wish I could. He hasn't posted anything. I've been asking people. I'm like, oh, is he any good? Then is he any good?
Is everyone keeping it on the DL? Then is no one seeing each other's training?
I mean, I'm hearing good things about me, so I don't know if they're just gassing us up a little bit or whether it's looking good.
But because it's being filmed, isn't it, James? Is it going to be on TV?
Yeah, so everything's being filmed. And I think the plan with it is to release it at a later date. So, but for me, I'm just turning up the training, giving it everything I can. And then I've got my eyes set on this 24th of June. I'm ready for it. So like me and Lockie, I've noticed we haven't spoke. So, like, we'd often like speaking that odd reply to a story or something. We haven't spoken a word since we got told it was the fight. We're just like, no.
This is like a heavyweight championship or something. Like, you know, proper like Manny Pacquiao or something. I
guess a lot of it is in the head. I guess a lot of it's before even the night, isn't it? You've got to be in the right headspace. I mean, not that I've ever had an MA kind of say it. Shocker, that. I bet you're shocked, James. I bet you're glad you ate me.
Yeah, I'm I definitely wouldn't have turned. I'd have needed more than 12 weeks if it was you. I'd have needed 12, yeah?
Who are the other celebs taking part? Because it's not just you and Lucky, is it?
Yeah, so Callum Weekender, he's fighting James English. Theo Campbell from Love Island, he's fighting... oh, what's the lad's name? He's like an actor from Essex. He's done all the naughty gangster films and that. I'm trying to think of his name. I haven't met him in person yet.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. Who else? There's a few girls fighting on the night.
It's something for everyone, basically.
It's gonna be mint. I've heard there's gonna be like live entertainment on. There's gonna be like a good act performing as well. In between the fights, but obviously my fight's the main card fight, so mine's the last fight of the night, so I'm going to be backstage. I'm going to be maybe got a screen there watching how the other people go on, and I'm just going to be dying to get in there. Like, it sounds strange. I think you either like it or you don't. You like being punched in the face, or you think it's the worst thing in the world. And for some reason, I like it. I don't know why. I don't mind it.
That's because you can probably take a punch, I'm guessing. Whereas I'd be in the first Uber home.
Into the ring, straight back out into the Uber. Yeah, I could see that.
Get up, have a lovely photo taken. What are you putting on your shorts? Is it like boxing where you design your own shorts?
So I think they've got plans for shorts, obviously with sponsors and stuff, them logos will be going on as well. But this is my first week, so I'm kind of like new to all of that. I'm more focused on my fighting and getting ready
than
for
what
that.
What you're wearing. That's the guy in, mate. What are you going to wear?
What am I going to wear? I need matching accessories.
Exactly. Match up. Do you wear the
gloves?
The gloves.
Yeah. So what are they called? Those things on your hands? Yeah, those things.
Yeah. So they're not like boxing gloves. They're like open hand ones.
Like the wraparound ones, are they? Like
No. They're like
Todd. Like golfing gloves. Like driving gloves.
Like fingerless ones. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Well, best of luck with it, James. I'm sure you're going to do well.
Do you know what? It sounds weird, but I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, we can't wait to see how you do.
I think I'm a madman.
Yeah, you seem like you've got a good mentality for it. I think it's going to be a hard one. Obviously, I know Lockie well. He's a big boy.
He's a big lad. I know. But that's what I want. Like, I would hate to be partnered up with someone that I knew, like, oh, there's no point in it happening. Whereas I feel like we're a good match for the same weight. He's a bit taller. But I think I'm stronger.
No shit.
I'll just drop that in there.
What's this space?
James, well, thank you so much for joining us, Stevie. Best of luck with it, because, well, it doesn't sound like you need it, but you know, you never know. Break a leg.
Oh, hopefully not. I've done that. No. I've done that on Jordy Shaw in Mexico
that was a long time ago. Cheers, James. Thanks so much for joining us.
Take care. Bye, mate. Bye. Best of luck.
See you later.
Good
luck.
See you. Bye. See ya. Rather him than me. Maybe we can do a fight, Bobs.
It's not my bag. If the agent rings with that gig, I don't know. It's not for me.
We could both go in the ring and then just order like a cocktail and have a chat.
Yes, let's do that. Because the thing is as well, I'll be picking my veneers up out the ring. Do you know what I mean? I've already got a fake nose. I can't take anything.
I completely get that.
Yeah, we'll just go for dinner.
Yeah, much nicer. Our final guest, Matt Evers, is here. So let's get him in.
Perfect. Matt.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks, babes. How are you?
Really good, thank you. Lovely to see you. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. Your hair is looking very, like, super coiffed there. I'm impressed. Is this every day?
This is how I wake up.
Yeah, sure.
No, I've been out all day today in meetings and stuff, so it's been rained down 5 or 6 times. It's pretty much plastered to my head now, I think.
So. Well, it's looking good. How are you doing anyway? All good?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah. I'm very good. Been back in the motherland for 2 weeks, so I'm over the jet lag. Just trying to get used to it. It's like super cold when it's raining, and then it's like really hot when the sun comes out. It's just wild weather.
So strange. How was it to go home?
Oh my God, it was so nice to go home. Like,
where
home for me
every time.
In Los Angeles. So right. I don't actually live in LA proper. I'm down at the beach in Hermosa Beach, which is like just south of the airport. But yeah, it was home for me now has become a holiday because I'm over here so much.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just nice to be in that California sunshine. I live about a mile from the beach, so I go to walk on the beach every day and I can't complain.
Oh, how amazing.
Sounds, yeah, sounds nice to be fair.
Got a speech about Celebrity Karaoke Club, Matt. I can't believe it starts Monday night.
I'm absolutely shitting my pants.
What are you shitting yourself about? Talk us through it. Anyone that's listening that might never have seen it before, like, tell us everything.
It's first off, it's bonkers. It's probably one of the most bonkers show on television.
You're dancing on ice. What are you talking about?
Well, but at least on DOI, like, we don't drink.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, fair.
You can't be drunk when you ice skate. I think we're also in a bit of a more controlled environment because we do so much training and we do so much rehearsal with dancing on ice with our celebs. But then to put myself into that karaoke room where it literally, they don't really tell you anything. They just throw you in the deep end, hand you a microphone, the props closet, and then the fellow celebs. And it was, it was like, it's car crash TV and it's absolutely brilliant.
Obviously, I was on the show with you. So there's questions that I already know the answer, but I've got to ask just for the viewers. How did you feel turn up? Like, when you knew who was there, was you comfortable with the lineup? Did you was you a little bit dubious?
I mean, I go into any environment, with kind of an open heart and open arms because, there's no reason to, when you're already uncomfortable, to try and make that experience any more uncomfortable for yourself. Obviously, I knew you were in there. We're mates. Like, I knew I would find friends in there. Donna Preston and I got on like a house on fire. We had never met before. And actually, she came out to LA a couple of weeks back and we went and had lunch out there. So yeah, it was, I think it's going in there, you think like, oh, this is a proper singing competition, but it's not, Nobody really cares how you sing. It's just how much you make a tit of yourself when you're on that stage.
Very true.
Is that quite like, I mean, I don't know if this is a bit of a stereotype, but in America, then maybe people would be less keen to just make an idiot out of themselves and just go and have a good time. Is that, I mean, I know you've been here a long time now, but is that a bit of a cultural shift?
100%. Yeah, it is a matter of Americans are, especially, Americans that work in television or Canadian actors or whatever. Mm. And you see it with your A-list celebs, like they rarely ever post on social media. And if they do, it's perfection.
Yeah.
I think, within the world of what we're now seeing in TikTok and the current social media, it's a little bit more acceptable to be real. And I think it was daunting for me, and it has been daunting for me as an American to sort of shed that, perfect skin of, sometimes what we portray, because we now know that that's not reality. We all know there's filters on every photo. And so for me to challenge myself, if we want to call it that, to go on a show like karaoke to where it's just me, people actually get to see me be me as they do on my TikToks and I take the absolute piss out of myself. It was really refreshing.
Do you have a favorite moment from your time on Celebrity Karaoke Club?
Oh gosh, I can't give too much away, can I?
Tricky, isn't it? 'Cause there's so much I'd love to talk about, but I'm a little bit like, oh, what can I say? What can't I say?
I have to say, it was, I think by the middle of that first night, the majority of the girls had their shoes off. And actually at one point, I don't think I'm giving too much away by saying this, but we have to vote for each other. You vote for somebody to, I think, did we vote for somebody to stay or somebody to leave? I think we voted.
You vote for, it's your, throughout the show, it's your favorite and your least favorite.
Yeah.
But you do that twice. And then at the end of the show, it's down to literally stay or go.
Yeah. I think it was, one of the votes, I remember thinking, oh God, I can't vote my worst, because at this point too, you don't know if they're going to reveal the votes to your other contestants. So yeah. I said on camera, when I went up to the karaoke box to vote for my least favorite, I think I voted for Donna, and I was like, because she took her shoes off. Like, by the end of the night, none of the girls had their heels on because they had been dancing, you know, all day. And, you know, we record two shows every day for that. So it's a long and arduous process, but I think it was just nice to see people relax and kind of get into what the show is all about.
And it feels like, or it felt like a night out. Like, yes. Obviously we knew, we was aware that we was doing a karaoke show, but there wasn't kind of that pressure where there wasn't really producers telling us anything. It literally was just a group of people that had become friendly, having a few drinks, getting a couple of props out and sing, or trying to sing for some, for some, and just having a lovely old time. And I think after the last 2 years, no, just to even be in a room with that many people around a bar and just having a little sing song was just so nice.
Absolutely. It was something that I felt completely deprived of. You know, there's a little dive bar around the corner from me down at the beach in LA. And we used to every Thursday night go sing karaoke. And because things had shut down and I got stuck over here during lockdown and all of that, it was sort of my first real big night out, if you want to call it that. And it was just nice to sit around the bar, cause there's a bar, you know, in the karaoke club, and to sit on the couches, and, you know, we did chats and stuff in the toilet, and it was just cool to be around like-minded people that just want to have a good time. Just experience the craziness of what celebrity karaoke is all about.
Are you excited to watch it back?
No.
I'm not five.
Are you actually... Sorry, go on.
I was just going to say, I actually booked myself a holiday for next week, so I won't be near a TV.
You'll have to watch it eventually. Someone will tag you in something, or so you'll see it eventually.
100%. It'll be on the hub.
It'll be Bobby sending me the glass.
Yeah, yeah. Look how terrible you were here.
Yeah.
Are you comfortable singing? I mean, people obviously know you as an ice skater. Are you comfortable singing?
I do. Well, I mean, I am. I can sing a little bit. I mean, I don't know how it's going to come out on the show, but...
You're not Mariah Carey. You're not like a...
Oh, God, no. I'm not... I can whistle, but I don't have the whistle tone.
Got it.
So when Dancing on Ice, we had a break. So we did series 1 through 9, and then the show broke for 3 years, and then we came back, and now we're working on series 15. I went and had a bunch of voice classes because I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do. And I was getting offers for pantos, and then like getting some West End auditions. So I did work on my voice quite a bit. This was, you know, 7 years ago now. Mm-hmm. So I had a little bit of an understanding of what to do with the mic and sort of how you place your voice and what you do with your breathing and things like that. But, you know, a lot of times they would throw songs at you in the karaoke club where you were like, how the fuck am I going to sing that? It's like, see ya, you know, like chandelier. Like, are you kidding me? Yeah.
You could just do the RuPaul talk voice, you know, where they just talk all their way through it. Yes. That's the best way to get
I was kind of hoping we just mime it. Like they'd actually play the backing track and we could just mime it, but there was no backing track.
I thought there would be a backing track. I really did. And I went the first song I stood up and sung. It was just, I could say words, but I was thinking, well, where's the backing?
I know.
And I was like, well, there ain't none.
Yeah.
And I thought, what, it's solely just me? And then that's when I realised, I thought, oh dear, this ain't going to be good. This ain't going to be great.
No, but, literally, it was fun. And it's funny too, to see like some surprises, like Laura Anderson from Love Island. Like when I heard her sing for the first time, I was like, girl, you've got some pipes. Like there was some real diamonds in the rough.
Did you think that about me? Have I got some pipes?
Oh, shit, you can call them rusty old pipes, Bob. I think it's more the.
Oh, I love it. The thing is for me, and I think a couple of us have said throughout the competition, karaoke is karaoke. None of us were stood there trying to get a record. It's very different to a show like The Voice X Factor. We're not stood there trying to get an album or a Christmas number one, thank God. Okay. Karaoke is literally just pick up the mic and have a laugh with it.
Yeah.
I think we was really lucky with the lineup as well. There's some really good characters on there.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, and I think that's why the show is so popular with ITV2. Because it is, just people having fun. And it's not a, you know, it's not X Factor. Nobody's, like you said, nobody's trying to win a record deal. And we all know at the end of the day, we're not professional singers, but there are some surprise guests. I can say that, that come into the show that are real singers. And that was a real treat to see too.
Absolutely.
We've only got you for a couple more minutes, Matt, but I just wanted to say, how do you look back at this last season of Dancing on Ice with Sally?
Oh my God. It was probably one of my most favorite. She is one of the most incredible people on this planet, not a bad bone in her body. So we would train from 5 o'clock in the morning until 7:30. And then she would go to Corey and film all day. And it was just week after week. I mean, we got through 7 of the 10 weeks. And, you know, for amazing. Somebody who's in her 60s, she's one of the oldest contestants that we've ever had.
She looks incredible as well.
Oh, my God. Yeah. She's a breast cancer survivor. You know what I mean? Like, it just was, it was really refreshing for me because, yeah, I've done every single series of Dancing on Ice and you just never know who you're going to get.
Highs and lows.
All you want is that celeb to just say, yes, let's try it. Let's do it. You know, and of course I'll stop them if they can't, we never push people too far. But it was an absolute delight to be skating with her this year.
But the question is, babe, obviously now you've seen me on the stage and you've heard me sing with a mic.
Can you,
what
skate?
You saying about me with a pair of skates?
I don't know. We're going to have to find out.
We are, babe. You're up for dancing with a man again. I mean, you broke history in 2020, didn't you? Would you do it again?
Yeah, 100%. You know, it's time for it to be a normal part of, you know, these entertainment shows. We've crossed that barrier of sexualizing people dancing with each other. If it's two girls, two guys, a man and a woman, a man and a dog or whatever, you know, like it's now okay. Time for these shows to bring it more mainstream. So, you know, as we saw this past year with Steph Reed, who's an amputee, it was never really mentioned on the show. Whereas when I skated back in 2009 or so with Heather Mills, the whole story was her being an amputee. So we are seeing these trends become more normal. And I'm just really hopeful that between Dancing on Ice and Strictly, you know, potentially even Love Island, you know, like it would be great to see some same sex partnerships in there.
Yeah. So you're definitely back next year, 2023.
Fingers crossed. I don't have a contract yet, so we'll see. Yeah, it's fingers looking crossed. Good though. It's looking good.
Thank you so much for joining us, Ethan. Can't wait to see Carrier Club, even if you're dreading it.
Oh my God, it's a lot of fun. I'll tell you that.
It'll be amazing. Oh, lovely to see you. Bye, babe.
See ya. Bye. I can't wait to tune in. Is it next Monday it starts, did you say?
Monday. So I think it's straight after Love Island. I think Love Island's 9 till 10:30, ITV2. And then Celebrity Karaoke, 10:30 p.m. ITV2. So, yeah, watch a little bit of Love Island, everyone in Mallorca. And then let's go back to Elstree and watch people trying to sing. It's night and day. Do you know what I mean?
That's what you need in life, though, the yin and the yang.
The yin and the yang, the up and the down, the peaks and the troughs. No, it'll be lovely for people at home, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely. Well, what a great show as ever. Have you got much coming up this weekend, Bob?
I'm literally waiting last minute bits Jubilee of furniture weekend. Deliveries. Jubilee as well. Yeah. Oh my gosh, what am I talking about? Yeah, I think I've got 2 30th birthday parties, got a couple of orders of furniture. Talk about everything coming at once, but... exciting because we've got them extra few days. How about you, babe?
Yeah, I've got a friend coming from America. I've got a friend's birthday on the Friday. I've got the Mighty Hoopla on the Saturday. So yeah, loads going on.
It ain't Hoopla already.
Yeah, Hoopla's this Saturday.
Shut up. No.
Well, Friday and Saturday. Yeah. Get a ticket, Bob. I think there's some still going. You have to have a look.
Shit, it ain't been a year already.
No, it hasn't because it was in September last year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, near enough, though. Oh, well, I didn't even know. I'm going to have to get onto it.
Yeah, sugar steps on the Friday, sugar babes on the Saturday. It's like the last amazing. 20 years have never happened.
Are you going to do both?
No, I'm just going to do the Saturday because I think 2 days of heavy drinking might be a bit much for me in my age.
And you saw Steps quite recently anyway.
I did. I saw them in December. Very good point. Very well remembered.
So Sugar Babes now, yeah.
Yeah, well up for it. I'll let you know how it goes next week and have fun at your birthday parties.
Thank you very much.
God save the Queen. God save the Queen.
Amen.
Jubilee.
Is that what you say?
Oh, 70 years.
I don't know what you say. Yeah. God save Queen.
There's a little hint for Monday evening.
Yeah, there you go. Monday, sneak peek.
Well, thanks everyone for listening. Until next time, goodbye.
Bye, guys.